In the early days of my Reformed and Calvinist fervor, I made a mistake that has stuck with me. I'm sure I made a bunch of them back then, but this one, in my mind, represents the big problem with my deeply held beliefs at that time. This big problem eventually was revealed to me and caused my wife and me to move on from that exclusionary Baptist church and its harmful institutionalism. But years earlier, before I met Kaylin, I wasn't aware of any problem. I was just thrilled to have grabbed hold of something solid in my spiritual searching. It was a couple of years after the September 11th attacks, just before President Bush and Congress issued a declaration of war against Iraq. I joined a friendly political discussion in the staff room of the ski resort where I was working. I knew that most of my friends and coworkers were politically progressive, if not ideologically, then just by osmosis, being decent people who cared about the planet and the poor and war Patagonia. This was Vermont, after all, a haven for peace-loving liberal folks and their causes. That the Green Mountain State gave us Ben and Jerry's ice cream and Senator Bernie Sanders is no accident. Deep down, I admired my friends and their progressiveness, which they seemed to inhabit so effortlessly. But I was also filled with ideas about God and politics, culled from the theologies of Luther and Calvin, and their modern representatives, and the rantings of conservative talk radio. It was quite a cocktail, and it placed me in an antagonistic position, one that I was simultaneously insecure and prideful about. I'd like to think I wasn't a jerk, but I was at least overconfident in order to mask that insecurity. I used harsh words and a sharp tone. I was defensive. Looking back on this episode, I can almost feel my zeal edging into jerkiness, and it makes me wince. After trying to shut down the argument being made by my good friend, I set my sights on the new ski instructor we had just hired, a women's studies graduate student who was about to go out to teach a telemark lesson. She sat quietly as I peppered her with questions. "Don't you know Saddam Hussein harbors Al-Qaeda? Have you read Bin Laden's manifesto? Regardless of whether there's weapons of mass destruction, do you really think we can win the war on terror if we don't change the regime in Iraq and gain ground for democracy in the Middle East?" If it weren't for the snowboard pants I was wearing, you'd think I was an FBI interrogator. She was steady in the face of my questioning. It had to be intimidating to have one of your bosses getting all political on your first day of work, right before your first lesson. Nevertheless, calmly and simply, she answered, "I'm a pacifist. I know it's not practical, but I just think war is wrong in all circumstances." My confidence melted, and I was dumbfounded. I could have argued against her position, but I couldn't argue with her heart. Something about the peace she was talking about felt true. What was I supposed to do with that? This exchange didn't change my views or curb my talk radio habit, but my verbal onslaught indicated a crack in the bedrock of my new beliefs, because the God I had come to believe in approved of the American Empire's violent reactions to the world's brokenness. He was a God who wanted war. I wanted war too. And I was wrong. Lukewarm in Laodicea. Central to the East Texas church's culture was the concept of the lukewarm Christian. The concept was drawn, of course, from Revelation 3, which gives us the last in a series of seven messages to seven influences.